Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
She flipped it on me and said I lied about a graduation party. A party, by the way, that my future sister-in-law threw, not me. It happened months earlier, and Mary wasn't invited. Apparently, she'd been holding on to that resentment the whole time. She kept accusing me of lying, but refused to say what I supposedly lied about. When I asked directly, she just repeated, "You know what you did." I apologized, even though I genuinely had no idea what I was apologizing for, and she never responded. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes, and we've got a great episode for you today. My wonderful friend, Bethy, is back. We had so much fun last time that I thought it was the perfect time to have her back on again. She has been a wedding planner for 3 years now and doing party planning for many years beyond that. She has a background in finance and accounting, but quit that life because she hated it. We actually met many, many years ago. We worked in the same office and she did accounting then when she was in grad school. And it was a pretty toxic job, but I'm so glad for it because that's when we were connected those many years ago. She now also does content creation, sharing makeup, and a little behind the scenes in her wedding approach as well. We had so much fun hanging out and reacting to a wild wedding story per usual. But this one was a little bit different. There was a lot of discussion to be had, and I'm still not completely convinced who the villain was in the story. So that all being said, thanks for hanging out with me today and enjoy this episode. Hi, Bethy. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you so much, Krista, for having me again.
Of course. I feel like we just had so much fun last time, like catching up and hanging out. Because anyone that didn't listen to last time, we worked together so long ago. And then randomly, I was scrolling on TikTok and I was like, oh, that's Bethy. Like, oh my gosh, it was such a toxic job that we worked out together. And so it was one of those where it was like, I had always hoped to like see you again. And so it was like such a pleasant surprise to see you. The phone.
Thank you. Yeah. When I saw you and I saw your channel and it was weddings, I was like, okay, this is kind of full circle because we were both, I was in finance and you were in marketing and we all both turned out to be somehow in the wedding industry. So it's funny.
I feel like I'm like wedding adjacent now though. Like mm-hmm. I talk about weddings on here. I just changed my handle actually because so many people thought I was a wedding planner, which
party planner. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm not. But I have been involved in a lot of weddings and events. So I just changed it. Cause like, I'm like, if anyone has real wedding questions, I'm like, ask a real wedding planner, ask Bethy, ask Wedding Pro Cass. You know, like there's all these other people I refer them to now because I'm like, I know what I would do, but I would not consider myself a professional in the wedding industry. I do like day of coordinating here and there. And I've helped with like baby showers and bridal showers.
Yeah.
Enough blabbing of me, but.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It was kind of funny that we both kind of just made our way into like weddings and stuff. I still do social media stuff, of course, like marketing, but it's different. How is your wedding event planning business going? Any wild things going on there?
Oh, yes. So I probably had the busiest summer yet. I think between me and my team and my business partner, we did around, I would say, 45-ish weddings this past season. And I have my last
one. This summer?
Yeah. I have my last one coming up in a few days for the season. So I'm wrapping up everything in November.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. So
yes.
Are you talking like multiple weddings in a week? Are you talking, like, how is that even possible?
So I would say about 50 to 70% of them are day of coordinating gigs, but all of our day coordinating starts a month, even 5 weeks before. So I'm talking multiple meetings in a week. Because I think the least weddings I've had is just one wedding a weekend. But like I've had three weddings in a weekend, back to back to back to back. That's like almost 14 hours each day.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, I think I didn't fully conceptualize what it meant until like the end of the season. And I was like, oh my God, I did these many weddings. But every weekend it's trying to figure out what outfit to wear, because we have another wedding tomorrow and the day after, and you don't want to come at 1 a.m. and try to plan anything the next day. So it's just like that. And I also do content creation, so trying to incorporate that. And I still have so many weddings to post because I wasn't able to keep up.
Yeah. Are you just completely spent after a 3 day or three wedding day weekend?
So Mondays, I usually like don't have any meetings. I block everything out. Literally, my body is like, what did you do to me? So Monday is like a complete rest day. And then I get back to my meetings and everything on Tuesday. So yeah, it completely wiped. But on the day, like I'm on my feet. Minimum I was doing is like 15, 17K steps a day. So I guess I got my workout in.
Oh my, do you take, yeah. Okay, how do you get ready for the day? And then throughout the day, how do you get moments of rest? And you might laugh being like, wait, what do you mean moments of rest? Do you make sure you eat something? Do you get to sit down like for the dinner? What are you doing to like make sure you're like checking in with yourself?
So it depends on the wedding. I can tell before the wedding if it's going to be a chill wedding or if it's going to be, I'm definitely not going to eat anything. So I'll probably eat in the morning and probably not eat the whole day. So I kind of can guesstimate what kind of wedding it will be. And the thing is, like, if it's a stressful wedding, even if there is food, like I just can't eat personally. I'm not the type to sit down, relax and eat. So I kind of like plan on it. It's almost like my adrenaline is so high, I can't eat, you know. But before taking breaks, it's not more so intentional. I just see the vibe of the wedding. I check on the bride and see, hey, is everything okay? You know, just once I get like, I would say right after the dances is when I get to kind of sit down around 9:30, 9 o'clock-ish when I get to sit down. And then by 11, I start breaking down some things. Midnight is usually between midnight and 1 o'clock is when the wedding's over. And then say my goodbyes. Oh, yeah.
So that's like built into your contract. Typically, like if you are wedding planning or day of coordinating or both, you're always there the whole.
Because if they don't, and it depends on like if they needed me earlier, because it is for 12 hours. And if it's more than 12 hours, they have to pay extra. So I tell them you have 12 hours. However you spread out that 12 hours is completely up to you. But I feel more relieved if I am at the end of the day there, because there is a lot of like, you know, logistical things like, oh, did they pack the gifts right? Is the money with the right person? And, you know, the guest books, all that stuff, just making sure I hand it off to someone. There is maybe one or two weddings where I left early because they needed me earlier during the day. So that 12 hour mark was over. But then I made sure like I at least had an assistant after me that stayed over because they would pay me more than they would pay my assistant.
So when you're doing these weddings, you have an assistant with you, at least one other person with you?
Depends on the package. Yeah. So if I can guesstimate that like, oh, setup is going to probably take more time, I say, hey, I need an assistant, and they pay for the assistant. Like, so it's an extra fee for that.
Yeah. Kind of like how a photographer sometimes will bring like a second photographer or something like that. Mm-hmm. Wow, girl. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like,
majority of it, I actually did it by myself this summer. But I had maybe three or four weddings where I had an assistant.
Wow. And when you say like summer, are you starting like May as like wedding season in the summer? You mean like summer months, like actually?
Yeah. So weddings started. Well, OK, I would say my team did a wedding without me. So I also do Maryland, D.C., Virginia. Mm-hmm. My business partner is in the East Coast. So we do both areas. She did one wedding in January. So there was one wedding in January and then we started March, April. And then May is when it gets busy. Yeah.
Crazy wedding season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, August is actually a very off season.
Interesting. Do you think mm-hmm. that's because it's really hot most places, or they're getting back to school, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So it's really hot or it really rains. a lot of places. Even venues with pricing, August can be cheaper.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I know, like, where I got married off season, what if you got married April, January through April, it was like a cheaper price. We picked a March date because you could save, but like,
yeah,
but it's also like cold where I live. So they're like June, July, and August was their prime, but or May, June, July, August.
May, June, July. Yeah. So August and November are considered like mid season. And then you have actually the high seasons are September and October is insane. Insane. I did, I think, 7 or 8 weddings in September.
Oh my gosh. That makes sense. I feel like the most weddings I've been to have been in September.
Yeah.
It's a very popular season.
Very.
September and October, they feel like good weather. It's so pretty too if you're like outside or have a view of outside.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like maybe it's just because the older I get, summer weddings, they're a doozy.
It's hard.
It's hard. Especially like if I'm sure if you're working one, you're running around. But like sitting there, like I've been to a weddings like outdoor in July, out in the blazing sun. And it's just like, when's this over? Like it's hard.
Yeah. I have horror stories. Like this summer, I did a back-to-back wedding in Wisconsin. And it was 97 and 100 degrees. The first wedding was 90. It was like between 97 and 100 degrees. It was completely out. Both the ceremony and the reception was outside. Air ventilation, no AC. It was a pavilion. I cooked the whole day. That's all I'm going
to. Was that June?
Yeah.
Yeah, I live in Wisconsin. I think you knew that. Yeah, we had a wildly hot summer. I remember we were supposed to go to a birthday party, a first one-year-old birthday party at the end of June. And we had every intention of going, but it was going to be 2 hours away. At that time, she was almost 2.5. At that point, but we're gonna have to drive 2 hours. It was gonna be 100-degree day and it was at a park. And I made a last call decision. I was just like, I'm not gonna go. I don't even know how that's gonna work. I mean, my husband ended up going, it was a family party, but I was like, I'm gonna take my 2-year-old in a car for 2 hours to an outdoor birthday party that's 100 degrees. That just sounds miserable to me.
It is. And the bride couldn't stay. Like when the reception starts, she's like, I wanna take my dress off. So when you're thinking about when in the planning season, and that's why like I really encourage brides having a full planner, because these are things we talk about when we're doing the full planning. Once the day you hit the day of coordination, I'm just there to facilitate what you have planned, right? So, and I see a lot of holes in the planning, but it's almost like I'm just mitigating what I can save on the day. So thinking about June and it's a pavilion, the decor is flying, and these are things that I'm like, there's on the day I can fix it and everything. But like, that's why, like, if you're having a full planner, it's also like the guest experience. Yes, you're saving money, sort of. It's not even that cheap, to be honest, to have a wedding outside. I did the math and was like, you might as well have it inside. But it's like the guest experience is very important. Not only do I have to deal with the planning and making sure everything's okay, but guests are coming to me be like, oh, so hot. And it's like, they're looking at me as if I planned it. And I'm like, no, it's not me, you know?
As if you can solve the world problems in that.
Yes. Yes. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's hard because, and you bring up a good point too about a lot of times people see like the DIY weddings or they see like a tent wedding. They're like, that's so much cheaper. But I've been a part of those, both as like bridesmaids and as guests and day coordinator. And I've seen like, it's not a lot cheaper. The tent costs, if you're adding a floor, if you're adding tables and chairs. Plus, I feel like, too, you just think about, and some of the ones I've seen that are like the DIY type weddings, they're paying more for all these different pieces to come together. Then you need more help because you're not in like a venue where they actually have like people to set up stuff. So you're either like having your wedding party do it or you're hiring more people to come in, whether that's servers or that's people to put the tent together, and you just don't think about it a lot of times.
Or my favorite of all is a family's going to help set up. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, they don't. They're not going to do it. Like, I've broomed, mopped a wedding because family was going to set up, you know, and family was going to break down. And I'm like, yeah, they don't do that. And so now that I'm getting more experience and understand that these are actually just like hopes and dreams, I mitigate those things by saying, no, if there's any family involvement, I actually hire an assistant or charge extra for an extra person to be there while I'm there, just because I'm like, I do not want to, first of all, I do not want to rely on family, but also I'm not the type that just be like, oh, you said your family's going to clean up, so I'm going to go. You know, I'm not that type. So I like getting my work done and also giving you a peace of mind. And usually peace of mind comes with a cost. That's the thing. Like with DIY weddings, I'm like, yeah, you can DIY, you're doing it the whole time. But the stress that comes with it, the time that comes with it, the amount of stuff that's in your house, craziness, right? Like to create one little bouquet or whatever, you have to buy a bunch of things. And so when you account the actual expenditure, unless that's something you really truly enjoy and you're crafty and you're creative in that direction, it's actually more enjoyable for you and your entire family if you just hire somebody to do it. Yeah.
You got to think about the time put in. There's always like the balance, like the give and take. Cause like I remember the first few weddings I really helped with, they were like family friends, a lot of them in the beginning. And it was like Cricut was the big phase, right? I'm going to buy a Cricut. It's $300, but think of all the money I'm going to save, right? But then you think about all the time you're going to be Cricuting all these signs, all these things. And I was like the go-to Cricut girl at one of these weddings I helped with. And granted, everything turned out beautiful. It was a beautiful wedding. But I think they kind of underestimated how much power from everybody else they needed. And it became this whole thing, this whole project for the family. And all these like last minute costs, stress on family members. And when it came time for my husband and I to get married, I was like, I don't want that for any of our family members. I want our family members to be able to sit, have a drink in their hand, get some food, and not have to worry about like who's tearing down, who's setting up. Oh my gosh, I do this. I'm like, I want you to look pretty on that day.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Have fun. Dance to music. Yeah. Don't be like, what's my job? And no shame to anyone that does that. If you know your family is helpful, because I've been a part of ones where it turned out beautiful. And like my in-laws, we did my sister-in-law's wedding and it was beautiful. And it was so much fun to put together. She got really lucky on Mother. But I've also been a part of ones where it's chaotic. It's not put together. In their mind, they're like, oh, my so-and-so is going to help me with this. They never ask so-and-so to help them. So then they're scrambling at the last minute. It's chaotic.
Yeah, no, it's a hit or miss. I think about it like, okay, what are they remembering from that date that they were working the whole time? They were sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, when they think about your wedding, they're like, the dance, they don't remember. The kiss or the ceremony, the first time, you know, the mom was putting the dress on. They have no memory of that because they were setting up.
Yeah.
Like you said, I had phenomenal family members that really, like, I was so, like, chill the whole time because they were really helpful. That's not my wish, I guess. But also, like, everybody does what they can with the budget that they have. So,
yeah, it's funny because honestly, until I was in my one friend's wedding, and she said, I don't want you guys to have to work at all as, like, bridesmaids. She's like, I want you guys to have fun. I'm not having any of you, like, have any jobs basically during the day. And that's like the first time I like heard a bride say that, because every wedding before that I'd been a part of setup. I'd been a part of all these things, and I'm not complaining because again, I like that kind of stuff. I love being crafty. Yeah. Like we like that kind of thing. That's why we're going to do what we do. But many people like in wedding parties don't like that stuff, you know? And so I felt like it was nice hearing that from a bride. And then I just extra offered help for her. I would just be like, hey, do you want me to come over and help put together favors? Hey, do you want me to come over and help? I think I did like her guest book was like a globe. And so like we did that. And so involving myself that way, because she was like, I don't want to make anyone feel like they have to work. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. That's nice.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, it's nice to have those. Then you can help out more.
Yes. Yeah. Because you want to, not because you feel obligated. Right.
Yeah.
I feel like we see that a lot. Have you had to be a therapist for any more brides, or have any crazy stories of this summer that you want to share that you can't share?
So many. I feel like one couple I worked with really loved, like, because I've worked with them for a whole year. They hired me for a full service planning. So just seeing them even grow in communication, it really like inspired me, because I can, like, the first day versus the last few days before the wedding, I was just playing back all the meetings we've had so far. And I do like interject sometimes when I, you know, and I can see like, you know, a little, oh, this is what I want. This is blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what he is saying is, what she is saying is, you know, I do that still. But I feel like weddings can really create friction in relationships, like just the planning phase, especially when you have a third person and you're still voicing what you want because you're not gonna, because this is your wedding, but you're still trying to keep like your composure, or you're trying to look like you're, you know, you have your things together. You don't want to look like the crazy one, you know? And so I think like that pressure of like trying to also be truthful, but also balance, like still remain professional with when you have a planner, you can see like the authenticity, the rawness of the relationship, but also like there's a lot of understanding that grows, especially because they're from two different cultures. And so there's just a mesh of that. And I think that's where I was like niching down as a planner for me has been important, like trying to figure out what types of weddings I want to master with my business partner. We've been going back and forth. And it's like, those are the places where I feel like we shined as a team, just to like figure out what is the, say, the sweet spot between two cultures, right? The men, especially like if you are obviously from a different country and getting married in the US, there's a cultural, I would say, fusion that happens from where you were to the US. And then between the two of you, in addition to that, if there's a difference as well, there's an additional factor of like, okay, we live in America, I'm from this country, you're from this country. And so like having that almost like a sweet spot between those three, figuring that out, but also you as a person in a relationship talking to your partner, which is like your future partner, right? This is just one day, but it feels like it almost is like a bridge to your new life that you're creating. So it's like so important. I saw them grow. And honestly, at the end, I was like, you guys, I'm going to miss these meetings. Oh. I really am going to miss these meetings, because even though like the wedding's done, I feel like I got attached to them as a couple. And I can see us like going beyond just this wedding. I think I'll remain in that family for a while, like at least until I marry off all their cousins, you know? But yeah, so just watching that, there were times when honestly, drama wise, there were mothers that were just too involved, you know, and I saw like a groom that was completely disengaged because of the mother's involvement. He would barely attend meetings. And it's just that type of friction was happening. I don't know if it was her wedding or the bride's wedding. Like, there was like, oh, this is what I want. Literally, these are words I would hear from the mother. And I'm like, that's not your wedding.
That's interesting. I have to tell you, and I want to know your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't do a ton of weddings anymore. I did like one or two this year. No, I did one last year and I did two this year.
Excuse me.
Remember, the years like blend together. But anyway, yeah. And I do get consultations here and there, and I'll like usually do the first call, whatever. But I always want to do the first call with the bride. Like the bride needs to be there. And I made it clear. Well, I had a mother of a bride reach out and she was so nice. This is nothing negative about the mother. But on the call, she made it clear that like she did everything. So the things that she'd already done for the wedding was like done. And I was like, oh, okay, is blank going to be joining us on the call? And it was like, no, she can't make it. So to me, that was like not a right fit, because I'm very like, my job is to work with the bride and groom or the couple getting married, right? And again, I don't take a lot of weddings in general, but I already knew off that call, I was like, this is not going to be the right fit. If I can't even get her on a call to talk about her plans and her vision for the wedding. And maybe she's that kind of person that's just like, mom, take the wheel and go. But what's your take on that? What would you do if just like a mother of the bride or groom reached out to you?
See, that was my first red flag that I should have caught. Yeah. My business partner and I talk about it. That was like our, now that we've gone through it a couple of times, this is not our first rodeo, unfortunately. And so we've gone through it a couple of times. We're like, okay, if the bride is not the person that is contacting us and we request the bride to be there, and we can see that's almost like a test of like how the wedding is going to be, like the whole process of the planning, I would say, I think there was a desire for, and I took the call for the business calls. I'm the one who takes all the calls. So I think there was a desire in me to just like get that business, but also make sure, because I wanted to make sure that like, I wasn't going to say no, you know, like there was just like, how can I say no, da, 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 but like my instincts were telling me it's going to be a rough one, but I didn't listen, right? And so I would say if you are a planner and you're talking to a potential client, if it's the parent and you can, that's literally how it's going to be. How you take the first call is probably how the whole conversation is going to be. But now the other aspect is like, not only are you managing the mother, because at the end of the day, she's not the bride. You have an additional person that you will get to at some point in the process. Ask, you know, did you do this, or do you want this, or do you want that? And so it's actually just more people to manage, more people to talk to. So it's never like she's completely eliminated from the process and the mom is taking over. That's never the case, right? So it's like, it's more of like you have two people, and then one's not the bride, and then you have the groom. And then also, like, you're the person that is trying to fix this. And like I said, that's the therapy place where you come in and you're like, well, what do you want, groom? You know, mm-hmm. And you're trying to include him because I feel like it's not fair, but it's not also. Do you care enough to make sure everybody feels a certain way? Or do you just do your job as in like just bare minimum and serve them and just, you know, move along? So mm-hmm. I would say it's a red flag.
Yeah, I feel like it complicates it in a way I didn't initially see. But it's like, yeah, it's like, think about, like, I don't know, if you're just doing a job in general and you're like, let's say the bride is your boss, but you never actually meet her.
Yep.
Meet the other boss or whatever. Ooh. And so when you go to that first day, you're like, wait, who's my, yep. Who am I listening to here? Because yep. When I work with someone, I always work with the bride or the groom, right? I get on calls with them. Mm-hmm. I ask about their vision. And so that would be really complicated. And I always say, too, in the consultation call, I'm always like, it's not for just like you to see me. It's for me to see you. Like, let's see if we're a good fit. Can I help you make everything come true? Can I do all the tasks you have? Right. And I can't meet you for that initial consultation.
Yeah.
What if the wedding day comes and I'm like, this is just not a good match? Or like the bride's telling me one thing that's different than the mom, but she's the one that's paying me. But it's her wedding day. And I'm just like, that's just because you hear those horror stories like you do. And it's just like, what do you do?
I definitely had a horror story. I honestly, I'm not even sure I processed it enough to talk about it because it was just like such chaos, mm-hmm. like in every way. But I think my team and I did the best that we could. On the day, I don't think there were that many issues, but the planning process, the just like not even communication. I would search for a vendor, but the mom has already booked another one. So it's like stuff like that that kept happening. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, that's like, also like causing double the work, right?
Because yeah.
You're doing the work, she's doing the work, ignoring what you're doing. And then it's like, why are they paying you to do this when she's going to do it anyway?
Yeah. And then, or I would suggest a makeup artist and they would be like, no, da, 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 da. And then 2 weeks before the wedding, they hire the same makeup artist I suggested. So it's like, I just counted the days for that wedding. That's all I'm going to say. But
yeah,
the thing is, like, I love what I do. It's almost like a weird thing where the chaos doesn't feel like chaos. It just feels like, oh, another puzzle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
To be solved. So it didn't feel like, I was actually more excited as the the problems were increasing, I guess.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think that's fun. I feel like you're in the right business, the right industry, because I see it like that way too, the rare occasions I do them. But it's like,
yeah,
for my day, I'm like, I have everything listed out, what I need to do. And then it's almost like a game of, what's that TV show, like Road Rules or something, where you're like driving around, checking off this box. It's like a scavenger.
Yes.
Sometimes it's kind of wild. But you're like, at the end of the day, then you can just put your feet up and be like, all right, we did.
Pretty much what happened.
Oh my gosh. Okay, before we get to this week's story, we're going to do a new segment this time and just rate on a scale of 1 to 10 from not important to very important in your case as a wedding planner. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it to you that the couple's wedding reflects their unique story and personality?
It's very important. Rate it 1 to 10, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I would say 9.
9. How important is it for the couple to feel calm and stress-free throughout the planning process?
I would say a 6. I don't think it's that important because it's normal to have some sort of stress. And actually, I like the ones that are stressed because those are actually the more prepared ones. The ones that are not stressed, I find out on the day that they should have been stressed.
I was thinking the same thing, because if they're a little too calm and collected, they're not thinking about what they have to do.
No. That freaks me out. I'm like, I'm like, oh my God, I got a lot of work to do. My first consultation call, I'm like, how was the planning process? They're like, we're done. We're 99.9% done. I'm like, okay, let's go through what you think is done. And then it's not.
Yes. Oh my gosh. How important is flexibility when plans or budgets change?
I would say a 7. Reason I say a 7 is 7.5. Because yes, you should be flexible. But then the budget only changes because your want changes, right? Like we can do something that fits the budget that would just kind of be less than what you want. So the flexibility is there. But some brides and grooms have like, our budget is 40K. But then when we're spending, they don't want to know the numbers that we're spending. So it's like, you really want to have a stop as a person. Like you need to draw a line, because if you don't draw a line, I can get you to 100K. I can get you to 125. We can get everything you've ever dreamed of. But the thing is, like, not having a stop will actually increase the pressure, because especially the last bills of the weddings come up a month before. So a month before, when you're paying it out, you're like, oh, I didn't know it was this much. And so I would say it's important, but the flexibility is important, but also having a boundary and saying, this is the number we're going to stop with is also, I think you have a life after a wedding. So
yeah, I totally agree. How important is it for the couple to have a detailed, realistic timeline leading up to the big day?
I would say, again, maybe a 7 or 8. Yes, it's good for your own sake, especially the get ready part. Like I would say that your morning, your makeup, your bridesmaid schedule, those are the things that kind of trickle down throughout the day. So if you have that detailed, that's nice. But I have brides that are in the wedding trying to tell me it's 7:05. We should be doing, okay, calm down. You know, like, I don't need that much detail of like how everything goes down, because again, it's not going to be 100%. There are things that move around, but for the most part, like between 5 to 15 minute flexibility is important. But you know what ends up happening? And this is why I'm like, don't worry. As long as we get to dinner, that's always what I say. We get to dinner on time. Everything else, don't worry about it. Because people think people are going to really dance. People don't dance more than an hour. There's only maybe 1 or 2 weddings where I was like, oh, these people are dancing. But more than an hour and a half, people end up leaving the weddings 10:30. These are like my experience this whole summer. So I'm like, you could have just relaxed the whole day and just pushed everything a little, you know, spread it out. So don't be so aggressive when it comes to like the timing. But I would say I don't like keeping people waiting at all for ceremony or dinner. You need to be on time for ceremony and you need to be on time for dinner.
Yeah, that's what those DIY weddings too, when they start so early. Yeah. And then the girls are just in their makeup for 2 hours being like, you have nothing to do. I've been in weddings like that before where you get your makeup done at 6 a.m. and then the schedule's kind of weird or wonky. And then we were kind of just like left in the dust. The bride and groom were off somewhere. It was still like 2 hours till the reception. And we were just like sitting around like, all right, what do we do? Our makeup's done, but like we can't really go anywhere yet because the wedding's not done. And you kind of just sit around and then you're exhausted. You don't want to dance, or you like maybe dance for an hour. And then it's like, yeah, you're exhausted.
Yeah. I like the skeleton to work with, but I always change it. Like on my first meeting, I'm like, do you have a timeline? They say, no, great. I'll make one for you. If it's me planning the entire wedding, obviously I'm creating the timeline. But some brides come with a timeline if I'm doing like a partial or a day of coordination. And then I look at it, I'm like, yeah, even now, tomorrow, I'm going to have a meeting with the bride, because I'm like, it doesn't make sense. There's a 40-45 minute that's just sitting empty there. Mm-hmm. So like, those are things that I do regardless of them having a timeline or not.
Yeah, no, that's good. All right. How important is it to design moments that feel emotional and memorable for a couple and guests alike?
Oh, I love that. I mean, I try to do that. In my consultation, I ask, you know, what is important? How did you guys meet? Is there something that we can recreate? I did like one wedding we did. It was an Indian American wedding. He used to write her notes, right? And so random notes on sticky notes, blah, 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 like love letters. Basically, they recreated it on their napkins for the alcohol.
And it looks like a sticky note that he wrote on.
Yes, but it's on a napkin. I actually took some because it looks so cute. So all the letters, you know how much I love you, da, 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 da. And he would sign it at the bottom with his handwriting. Basically recreated it on napkins for cocktail and for the bar. So
I like just that.
Yeah, that was very nice. Or they did like also, you know, those deck of cards. Those were their guest books. So every deck of card had a note from somebody, and they were going to play the card when they go home and they can see the notes. So kind of like engaging the guests with also showing their love story and the whole process. If I could do it, I would love to do it. Is I would say an 8 would, because it would increase the experience for the guests. But it could be a lot of work from the bride and groom perspective if they're just like, I just want to get married, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure you learned that a lot in that first consultation, to be like, okay, there's someone that cares about the little details.
Yes.
Wants to showcase their personality. This person wants to check the box of these three things or whatever. So yeah, I love that. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. Okay, let's get into this week's wedding story submission. Are you ready?
I'm excited.
All right, let's do it. 3 months before my wedding, my maid of honor dropped out over text. Now, I'm not sure if I should still invite her to the bridal shower or even the wedding. Here's some backstory. Ever since I got engaged, things with my maid of honor, let's call her Mary, have been rocky. At first, Mary seemed excited and offered help, but I didn't really need much early on since I was just booking vendors. I'd tell her I'm good right now or share updates about the venue, and somehow it always turned negative. For example, when I mentioned that guests would need to pay for their own rooms, she accused me of making a profit off the wedding. What? Is she going to weddings where they pay for the hotel? And why does she think the bride would be making that money?
That is weird. So some sort of coordination with the hotel, I guess, where the bride gets the money?
I don't know why the maid of honor would think that. Which, of course, isn't true. She just doesn't understand how expensive weddings really are. Mary and I have been friends for a long time. She's been dating her boyfriend, we'll call him Jim, for a while. At one point, I jokingly said, "You're next, Jim," just playful banter. But months later, I found out they were actually mad at me about that joke and thought I was a terrible person for saying it. We eventually made up, but things never fully went back to normal. I constantly felt like I was walking on eggshells. Why would they be so mad at her for joking about being next? Like pressure.
I think there's hidden animosity, but
I know I'm wondering, like, because I feel like there's always this thing with these stories where like they were dating first and then they were dating. And so you can't get engaged before me because we were together first. And I see these happen a lot. So I'm wondering if like the maid of honor was dating the guy first.
Yeah.
Something like he didn't ask her. I don't know. A few months later, I decided to make my college friend Julie my matron of honor. Okay. Is this before she dropped out? And told Mary they could share the role.
Ugh.
Oh, that's why Mary's mad. What are your thoughts on that?
Is the story over?
Oh, there's a lot more.
I mean, I feel like the bride, first I was like, okay, maid of honors and bridesmaids, they've given me headaches this summer. So I was like, okay, I'm already like bridesmaids, problems. But when she said like, yeah, this is definitely a, I think she was pushing for problems from the start, I feel like. Because why would you even start the story from she dropped out and not actually start from here?
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm just confused as like, was your intention to already make her look bad? And now you're thinking of like, oh, it could be because they were mad then. It was because when I said this, she said that. So I'm curious to hear the entire story before I make my judgment. But now I see two problematic people.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is wild. Okay. I was nervous to tell her, but to my surprise, she seemed fine with it. Julie ended up being amazing. She helped with everything before I even asked, made planning easier, and kept me sane. Well, here's the thing. I agree with you because I'm already seeing two where she's like, Julie's up here. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then Mary over here has not been helping. But she said early on, Mary asked if she could help. And she said, well, exactly. I was just with vendors. But now Julie's helping with everything before she even asked. I think that's overstepping. Personally, as a bride, I wouldn't want a bridesmaid to come to me and be like, I did this for you without you asking. I'd be like, no, thank you. So it sounds like she's like giving Julie more reins to do things and maybe values her more as a friend.
Yeah.
Not long after, I invited Mary to go flower shopping with me, and that went well. But when I asked her to help with a few DIY projects later on, it turned into a disaster. We got into a disagreement because she has very strict values, and I always tried to respect that. Okay. For example, I mentioned wanting to go dancing for my bachelorette, but she said she couldn't go because of her relationship boundaries. Okay. That was fine. But my fiance said he didn't love the idea either. You can't go, teach their own. You can't go dancing. Okay. I joked to her, well, if you say no, then you can't come to Vegas either. You already know she's feeling a certain way. Why are you joking to her saying that? This just sounds
why?
Yeah. She threw it back at me saying I was being controlling. And when I tried to explain the context, she just kept arguing. After that, things seemed okay again, at least for a few weeks. I don't think they're okay. I think it's like she keeps throwing like digs at her, expecting her not to respond. And then she responds and the bride's like, but what? I'm just joking.
Yeah, the bride was already, wow, interesting. I really didn't see this coming. I thought it was going to be the bridesmaid, but right now I'm for the bridesmaid. It just feels like, or the maid of honor, it just feels like she's creating problems. And okay, she doesn't want to go. Like, again, why is there pressure there? If you already know her, you're making up your maid of honor for specific reasons. Mm-hmm. Either this person is close to you, you trust them, it's somebody you want next to you, you've dreamt about this, blah, blah, blah. And you know them, though. How is their values going to change for you overnight? That's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I'm going to ask to do certain things for my wedding, right? That's just it. And she's not. It's not like this person came up with her values now overnight. This is just the person she is. And her fiance also said the same thing. So I'm really curious where this lady's going.
Yeah. Okay, so she said, then out of nowhere, I got an AI-generated message from her.
Out of nowhere,
completely, saying she was stepping down as maid of honor. Here's what it said. Hey, first, I want to thank you again for asking me to be your maid of honor. I'm just picturing like ChatGPT. That meant a lot. After reflecting more on where things are in my life and between us, I realized I need to step down from that role. This decision isn't meant to hurt you. It's just something I feel is necessary, so that you can be fully supported by people who align best with your energy and vision right now. I think we've grown in different ways, and I don't feel I'm the best fit to stand beside you. The people sitting next to you should be the ones that are best for you. I'd be happy to come as a guest and support you from the sidelines. I truly wish you a beautiful wedding and joyful beginning to this next chapter. I mean, maybe she did use AI. We don't know that for a fact, but it sounds good.
Sounds genuine to me.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, what else do you want someone to say? I mean, she's like, she wants you to be supported. Yeah. She knows she's not in the place, or your relationship's not in the place for her to be by your side. She's mm-hmm. respectfully stepping down. She's mm-hmm. communicating it instead of being rude and blocking your number.
Yeah. And she could have waited until last minute, pushed it and made it about herself, right? Like it could be, she wanted to be the talk of the wedding. And, you know, leave a mark. So I've had bridesmaids do that. Like I had a wedding this season, a week before the wedding, she said she couldn't come. There are bridesmaids that do that. I honestly think this person's, however bad the bride is trying to paint her, I'm not seeing it.
I see this all as, one, as a lack of communication. Two, yes. There was already some kind of animosity between both of them. I don't think anyone's like right and wrong or angel and demon, you know? I feel like it's two friends that maybe had a falling out.
Yeah.
Communicate to get right on the same page. Because it says she dropped out 3 months before the wedding. So I feel like that's still plenty of time. She's mm-hmm. respectfully saying like, look, things that are off between us. It would feel fake for me to be next to you and being like, hey, we're the best of friends. Especially maid of honor. It's not even just a bridesmaid role. It's maid of honor. That should be like your closest friend Yeah.
Someone who aligns with your values. And that's what she said. She's like, we're not aligned with our values, you know. And that would be, a wedding does show you that, by the way. Like, yeah. It does show you, because like, some people are like, oh, no, we're high school friends. I want her to be my bridesmaid. I'm like, are you sure? Because you probably don't even know half of the things that she believes now. Like, you don't have the same values anymore. People grow, people just evolve, you know, and it's not a bad thing, right? Like, it's not a bad thing at all. But who you want as a bridesmaid is not necessarily just a friend. Again, I think those, like, even siblings, someone you want as a bridesmaid is someone who doesn't necessarily need to be your best friend. It needs to be somebody who can put their desires aside for that day, put their wants aside, and make sure you are taken care of, and they're someone who is really good at organization. Let's say your best friend is the worst, like not type B, I would say even worse than that. You don't want her to organize your baby showers, your wedding showers, just not going to work. Mm-hmm. You're tasking her with something that she's personally, characterly not able to produce. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yes, she is your best friend and you love her for all of the ways, but not the things that a bridesmaid or a maid of honor is required to do. And that's like when they say, oh, I want my sister. I'm like, the entire time I see them fighting, the entire time bickering, I was like, nobody forced you to make your sister your maid of honor.
Right. And they just think they have to like check that box.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've even heard of so many parents pressuring, like, your brother has to be your best man.
Yeah.
And it's like this one guy in particular was like, my brother can never get anywhere on time. He doesn't do anything for other people.
Yeah.
He's always late. He, you know, all these things. He's like, I cannot rely on him for anything. I don't want to be my best man. But then the parents were refusing to come or pay for anything if he wasn't going to be the best man. It's just like, why do people do that? I don't get that.
Then you would have a friend who actually shows up for that day, who does everything a best man does, but doesn't get the appreciation or the place or the position that the best man is having. And it's like, it doesn't make sense. And those are the hard decisions that you have to make beforehand. Is this story over? This is interesting. Oh my gosh.
There's a little bit more. It's not like a ton more.
Okay. I didn't want to go off. I was like, okay, let's finish this topic.
Okay. It says, so in reply or talking about her message she got, she says, it sounded so robotic that I immediately asked for more context. Because it didn't even sound like her. Now you're accusing her. No. I hate to come hard on like people that send in messages, because I think many times people expect I'm going to be like, oh yeah, they're the villain. But I really try to look at it with open eyes and be like, okay, I'm trying to be as unbiased. I'm not involved in this, right? And so if someone texted me a long heartfelt message, whether it was AI or not, let's take AI out of the equation. Maybe someone helped her write it. They still took the time and they're communicating with you, right? And to be like, give her context. She was very clear. I mean, yeah, maybe she didn't give specifics. She could
see where it was going. And not only that, it was just like a bunch of, it's not one thing.
Yeah.
She literally said, we're growing apart. Like, we don't have the same values. Like, how are you going to specify and say here, there, that? It's just, we're not the same people we thought we were. So it's like,
yeah,
I think the clarification question, all that was just, I'm sorry. Actually, I would say I was already biased against the bridesmaid because I thought she was going to be problematic because of my experience. But I completely switched over.
Okay, let's see. That's when things got worse. She flipped it on me and said I lied about a graduation party. A party, by the way, that my future sister-in-law threw, not me. It happened months earlier and Mary wasn't invited. Apparently, she'd been holding on to that resentment the whole time. Now I just don't know. Because she's saying in this text, it's like values, but now she's like, well, you went to a party without me. She kept accusing me of lying, but refused to say what I supposedly lied about. When I asked directly, she just repeated, you know what you did. I apologized, even though I genuinely had no idea what I was apologizing for, and she never responded. Later, I found out she'd been talking to Julie behind my back, complaining that wedding traditions are stupid and that she wanted to tell me directly. Julie told her not to. Mary also kept going on about how expensive everything was and twisted my words from another conversation, claiming I called the bridesmaids fillers. Oh, gosh. That was completely taken out of context. Oh, so she said it. That's what I always, like, whenever people say that was taken out of context and they're like, oh, you have to, like, see the whole thing. I'm like, but was it said?
She didn't deny that she said it, so.
It's like, unless you were quoting someone else, you said it.
Yeah, no. I don't know what context that would be justified. Yeah. Honestly, the thing is, when someone says, you know what you did, I actually think the other person knows what they did.
Oh, is that a hot take?
Yeah. And they're like, I genuinely don't know what I did. Da-da-da-da. I actually think they know what they did. And there's things that are like beyond conversation to almost like spitefulness where you feel weird about saying what they did because it's almost mind-boggling that they did that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, I don't even want to verbalize what you did because it was so calculated. It was so thought out that like, I really just don't want to address it and name it because I can't even believe you did it. But you know what you did. Mm. And I generally have been in those situations. I'm like, yeah, this person, they know what they're doing, you know? And it's like me telling them almost feels weird because we're across that point where if I say it, there's no coming back.
Yeah. Like we're.
So I want to move forward with some sort of a relationship with this person. So I'm just not going to say it. They know what they did. I know what they did. Let's just let it be.
Mm, that's a good point. I can kind of see that. Yeah.
Because she wouldn't have sent that message and say, I would still want to be a guest at your wedding, right? I still would want to come, da 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 da. She's trying to sever whatever's left of this relationship. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to let it die, you know, be cordial, let me not be a bride, like a maid of honor, da 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 da. I'll be a guest. Because again, this person could just be like, I don't want to come to your wedding. I don't want anything to do with you. But she's trying to sever whatever is left. But then the bride kept pushing and saying, what did I do? What did I do? And then she probably triggered her into saying the things that she did. So,
ooh, okay. I can see that. All right. She said, I had said I wanted to invite a few more people to the bachelorette. And if some couldn't come, it wasn't a big deal. Meaning the extras weren't essential. Not that I didn't like them. Probably a poor choice of words on my part, but definitely not how she made it sound. Okay, so she's saying like to her
pillars,
wants other people to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a good choice of words either. I don't mind if they don't come. You know, you could have said it in so many ways. But there were people that you wanted to be there. And there were people that were actually fillers. So.
Yeah. I get what she's saying. But yeah. You're like, I've seen so many things happen. I can tell. And yeah, to kind of say like, she did say like, I don't really care if they come or not.
Yeah. You could have been like, as long as 5 people are here, whatever. But no, it was more so like, oh yeah, there's a specific group of people that you think if they come, you know, it's just going to look like a party because there's more people there, but they're not the core people that you want there. As long as these core people are here, the other ones are just spent. So that's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Because why would you use that word? I don't get it. Like, I'll be like, yeah, we invited 20 people, 10 people come, great. You could say it so many ways without using the word fillers. Fillers actually means what it is.
Yeah. Filler sounds like you just want a body there. You don't
body care
who they are, what they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Last little paragraph here. It says, now I'm left wondering what to do. Do I still invite her to the wedding? Her whole family was supposed to be invited too, and the situation feels so awkward. I'm torn between wanting to be the bigger person and just be done with the drama altogether.
I wouldn't invite her.
Ton of drama. You wouldn't invite her?
I wouldn't. If I was in the bride's position. The thing is, although I feel like the bride is the problematic one in this situation, I feel like the bride is the problematic one. Why would you want somebody there that you're going to give a half-ass hug to? Like, do you get me? Like, oh my gosh, she's here. You're going to roll your eyes. Your bridesmaids are going to be talking about her, what she's wearing, how she's acting. Again, if it's my wedding, I don't want anybody there that I am not excited to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I know is happy for me 100%. And it doesn't, from the bride's perspective, it doesn't seem like this person is a good person for her.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I disagree that the bride is the problematic one. I don't know.
I feel like you have a very mature way of looking at it. Because that's true. It's like ultimately when it comes down to it,
yeah.
You want clean air. You want someone, people that are there to support you. And not saying that girl said she didn't I mean, she just said she doesn't fully support her and doesn't want to like be by her side. For like me, it's like, it's so individual. And like, since I'm not there, I don't know how the relationship is in person. I'd be like, since the girl said I'd be happy to come as a guest, then you put it back in her court and you invite her and she can then make decision. If she ultimately is like, hey, I'm sick that weekend, you know, can't come, then nail in the coffin. Then you're just,
agree.
It's hard too when it's like, obviously, if you're going to invite her family, you were probably close to her family as well.
Yeah. And
it's even harder. It sounds like you guys grew up together. But I think, yeah, it just sounds like one of those friendships that are maybe just like diverging, you know?
Yeah. And I think like when you think about the bridesmaid said, I was going to come and I want to support you as a guest, you know, that was her intention. If I was the bride in that position, I would have just invited her and stopped it right there. But the conversations that went back and forth would make me second guess. I guess where I'm at in my life, I think it's also a projection of sorts. As a person who used to be married and now I'm actually engaged.
So, oh my gosh, congratulations. Yes,
thank you. I wouldn't want anybody that I literally see and have second thoughts of or any sort of uncomfortable situation. Like I'm really like, I don't know if it's like age or I don't know, whatever is in the air. I have almost zero tolerance for any sort of second guessing in my life, even with friendships. And I completely did a 180 on all my friendships, literally cleaned house, I would say, in the last 3 years, and just went through like, oh, these are things that I've just been like passive about. So I'm not passive about who is my friend and who is not anymore. I think it's coming from that. So I might be projecting a little, but like I would rather have 50 genuine people that truly want my, you know, to me to be happy and my future to be beautiful than to just have fillers.
No, yeah, you know what? You make a really good point. Because I was only thinking about the initial text, the follow-up text. I'm just putting myself in the bride's shoes, whether she's right or wrong in all this. You know, I'm sure there's things we don't know that happened between them, but her saying, you know what you did, like if a friend before my wedding said, well, you know what you did, I'd be like, all right, I'm not playing this game. That aside, if a friend said that to me, whether I thought I was guilty or not, God, I hope not. Like, I hope I wouldn't do something like that to a friend. But let's just say that's what she said. And the bride thinks she's 100% innocent. Then yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't think she should invite her because you're going to be wondering, it's going to be catty. It's going to be bridesmaids being like, oh my gosh, that's the girl. She dropped out. Oh, she was talking crap about you behind your back, you know? And so at that point, can you move forward? You're going to need to like really hash everything out or wait till after the wedding and do that. But I don't think you should.
Yeah.
But you not inviting her is also going to be the end of your friendship, I think.
I think it sounds like if I was in the bride's position, I would get to the bottom of it before inviting her. Whatever she thinks I did, I need to know verbatim. I would be like, okay, what is it? We're going to talk about it. We're going to chat about it. But if the conversation ended where the story ended and I'm going back and forth about inviting her, it's an immediate no for me. But like, if we can come to a resolution, a conversation, because then it is over already. Like, I feel like the friendship is over whether I invite her or not if we don't come to a resolution here, because you're not supporting me on my biggest day of my life. So
yeah. And why invite someone that we're not going to have a future anyway? I don't want to see pictures if it's going to make me upset or something.
Pretty much.
Yeah. They also get to, like, if they've just been hanging on to a thread because they know each other so long, maybe they've been dating and she only asked her to be a maid of honor because how long they've been friends. I've been at a point in friendships before where, like, it's just the final straw. I've exhausted all resources up here, spiritually, mentally, physically. And I see that last text and I'm just like, yep, that about did it. I'm done with this friendship. I'm not going to even try. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, if you're even like consider questioning it, then yeah, I think it's just a no.
Yeah, agreed.
Love that. Love that we talked that through like we were their therapists. I'm like picking up your therapist vibes.
Love it. I think I need to do more of these like reactions of weddings and stuff like that, even for my content. I'm like, I think I enjoy it so much. But also like it's so nice to just see it in, like firsthand and literally in life to, yeah. If someone says I have 7 or 8 bridesmaids, I'm like, we have 1 or 2 problematic people. They say 4 is the sweet spot. Like, say 4, please. And I'm like, oh, thank God. But
I have 9.
Really? See, I would say
a wedding once with 12.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So mine was even the biggest out of my friends. But I've been also in weddings where there was three bridesmaids and they were problematic.
Yeah, no, I had my first wedding, I had 8 or 9 too, and it was chef's kiss. So it's not a one size fits all for sure.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, I've also said too, like if I got married like years ago, like early 20s, I think it would have been bigger and there would have been some bad apples in there for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And then within that time and then the time I got married, a few had been dwindling away. And yeah, so I think we cleaned house before that. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Before we go, I've got a couple of confessions that people send me.
Okay.
And we'll react to those and then we'll be okay.
Exciting.
This is about wedding vendors confessions. Okay. It said, photographer didn't get a picture of me and my now deceased father walking down the aisle. I would hope, I feel like the photographer would always get photos of walking down the aisle. That's a definite mess up on their part, I would think.
So that's weird because it's not the only, but they took photos of them like walk, with the bridesmaids walking, like everything else, but her and her dad.
Yeah, and that's what I'm guessing. And some photographers, I find you have to be like really clear, like don't miss this, don't miss this. Because I've been to weddings too where photographers like had a contract, but then like they did not do what they said they're going to do. And if I had been more involved, I probably would have said something. But one, they were like, oh, I'm going to bring an assistant, like my second photographer. Never brought an assistant, but they still wanted the full payment. And then they just paid just to like get them out of their way. And I'm just like, no, I never would have paid if they said they were being an assistant and they didn't. So some of you feel like really clear. These are the photos we want. We don't want to miss these. But yeah, that sucks. This one says, our caterer showed up over 2 hours late, didn't have one of the special request meals we asked for.
I've had caterers come 2 hours late too.
What do you do?
You just start praying, you know? If you believe in God, that's when you need to chip in any of that conversation at that moment. They came on time, but didn't set up. I've had one wedding where she literally lied to me. The caterer lied to me about why she didn't come on time and said, oh, you said it was 4 o'clock. And I have multiple, not only on the contract, but multiple text messages. I was like, you don't need to lie. And then basically I was like, I just need to get this done. Just set up. I don't want to hear anything.
Right. No excuses.
Just shut up right now. And then I had one where they're like, oh, what time is the cocktail? And the cocktail is almost over. So what you do with that is basically, I just finesse, like, I just, okay, go past the appetizers and not set up, right? Like the last 15 minutes, they passed the appetizer. They're 2 hours late. That means, you know, you just have to push things maybe a cocktail hour longer. That's what I would do as a planner. I would just get people more drunk so that they, you know, so that people don't realize what time it is. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I'll talk to the bride and groom and be like, okay, we're going to have to pay extra hour for the cocktail hour because caterer is late. And then we push everything an hour. And then with the special meal request, I mean, I would say like some sort of conversation can happen after the event with the caterer. Most brides and grooms are super lazy to come back and say, hey, our contract said this, that. But I would highly urge bride and groom to go back and say, you know, we need to figure this out. But yeah, 2 hours late is the most probably annoying thing more than the one meal missed, because that's more people that was affected. But with the one meal missed, if I was a planner, I would actually go to that person, order them a food, get a like a DoorDash or Uber Eats or something. And I would serve them like a specific special food for them.
Yeah.
If I was a planner.
Yeah. And I would say the only time, like you made a good point, like if there's like appetizers and open bar, like people are hanging out, you usually don't notice. The only time I did notice was when there was a weird gap between the ceremony ending and the reception starting. There was like a 3 hour gap in like this random town. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted everyone back by like 6 o'clock for dinner, right? So they had us all get in, get to our tables, and then we sat for another hour. And I remember just being so hungry. It was cold in there because, you know, like usually you can like get happy hour. You're getting like the vibe going. But like we went from like going then outside in like a December wedding back in. So that made it more obvious because we're already sitting at our tables, like waiting, no music going. But for the most part, if there's like already a DJ or there's like something happening, people aren't
going to. Yes.
I feel like 2 hours is a long time though.
Yeah. I always say have a cocktail hour. Even if you don't, you're not a drinker, you know. Some of my brides and grooms are not like alcoholic or it's dry wedding. I would say, you know, you can get mocktails and soft drinks. And even like fried foods, whatever it is, having some sort of food during cocktail hour is such a buffer. It gets people in the mood. Like, it's such a good transition. Like, I say, oh, every time they're like, oh, we don't have a cocktail hour. I was like, I'm just saying the guest experience is not going to be there. Like, people are not going to be excited about this. So
I think people are always looking for some kind of refreshment after.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't have to be an open.
No.
You can even have cheese and crackers. And, you know, from a grocery store, whatever.
Absolutely.
People want something to like pick at, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Last one. Let's see. There's so many here to choose from. Gave the DJ a set list and timeline. He ignored it all.
DJs are my best friends and my worst enemies.
That should be a t-shirt.
Genuinely had, like, I had the best DJs and I had the worst this summer. So there was one, basically, he rearranged the schedule, did not talk to me, goes back and forth with the bride, creates the schedule. And I'm like, oh, guys, it's time for cake. And they're like, oh, no, the DJ already moved this stuff. So I'm like, basically, as the coordinator, I was like following directions from the DJ. And it was...
took over and was just like moving stuff?
Yeah. And I avoided him like the plague the whole night. I just was like, if I talk to you, I'm probably not going to say nice things. So I'm just going to, you know...
I got to keep my vibes high.
Yeah. I don't want to do the non-Christian thing to do. So please, like, move away. So pretty much I avoided him. But I also let the bride and groom know because I was like, what's the point of me, you know? So unfortunately, I tried to break the ice. I do an email, a couple emails before the wedding. Hi, I'm Bethy. Da, 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 I'm the coordinator. Here's the schedule. If you have any questions on the day, I'm the person. I also make sure that all the vendors get meals. And that's something we can talk about a different day because that experience was insane. I had a few experiences where the bride and groom are like, oh, no, we're not paying for meals. Mm. So I make sure during my meetings with the bride and groom, all vendors are fed and all that stuff. So, and then on the day, I actually supervise with the catering team to make sure, you know, the DJ usually eats at their station. So I make sure they get everything. And then all the harshness kind of dies usually. And that's where I build a bridge. So they're like, okay, Bethy, let's talk about it. Or they communicate with me before they do anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is just one incident. It's just, I was like, if the bride and groom are happy, I literally stepped away. But it seems like from the situation, the DJ did not do what he needed to do. Again, they probably didn't have a coordinator. That's what it is. Like, it's the most forgotten vendor. But I promise you, you would rather, honestly, you would rather lose one of the vendors before you lose a coordinator. Because if you had a coordinator, you told her that, I would have pulled up. I usually do a rundown of all the stuff that we talked about. So I would do like, do you have the music that they asked for? What's the music for the procession, the reception? I do all this stuff beforehand. So it wouldn't be a problem. Or on the day, we would have been able to fix it if some music wasn't supposed to be played and the DJ played it. So hire a coordinator. Like, it all ends up being hire a planner / a coordinator.
Yes, can't say it enough. Those extra set of hands come very handy.
Yes, 100%.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming back on, Bethy. As always,
thank you.
Pleasure hanging out and chatting with you. Always good to see your face.
Thank you so much, Krista. Thank you, everybody, for just, you know, hanging out with us and chit-chatting about weddings. Krista, I appreciate your time and your genuineness. Thank you for reaching out again. And I hope to come back with more stories. I will have specific stories. I haven't processed the summer, you know, it was so much. So I'm just like, I need to write it, blog it, you know.
You need a journal after these weddings.
That's for sure.
Where can everyone follow you and find your awesome content?
Yeah, so on Instagram, it's kblossomevents. It's kblossom_events. That's my business page. But both on Instagram and on TikTok, Bethy_creates. And yeah, thank you guys for watching. I appreciate you. Thank you, Krista.
Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.